Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior. Let's pray. God, we ask your presence with us here today. If you're not here with us, it's all in vain. Descend down upon us and visit us in the person of your Holy Spirit. May Jesus Christ be lifted up. May you be glorified. May our hearts be drawn to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. For those of you that are here at Bible school for the first time, we have something in common. This is the first time I've ever been to this Bible school also. My name is Ed Yoder. That's not really so important, but the important thing is that we know Jesus. If you forget me, that's fine, but don't forget Jesus. I feel a little bit out of my comfort zone this morning from a number of angles. The one is that coming where I come from, I feel a little more comfortable in the bush villages sharing Jesus with the people back in the bush. But the important thing is that Jesus is shared wherever we go because it's really all about Him. Another thing I feel just a little out of my comfort zone is this equipment here. I feel a little like Saul with, like David with Saul's armor, but that's all right. I'm not used to it. But I'm happy to be here with you today. Come a long ways from my home, but we're all heading on a journey. Young people, we're on a journey. And this journey takes us from time into eternity. I was sharing that about 2 weeks ago, yesterday, 2 weeks ago. I was back in a little bush village, and I was sharing that with people that knew very little about God. And I had the privilege of making a little description before them, but I didn't have a board. I just had a little stick, and in the dust, I drew a little sketch, and I'm going to sketch it here on the board. Eternity. And eternity. And here are we. Each individual is in this little block called time. You can put your name there. I can put my name there. We all know this side by date when we were born. At least we were told that we were born in such and such a date. None of us know the date on this side when we enter into eternity. God in His greatness created man in the scope of eternity. And we find in the book of that God has given us from Genesis to Revelation, we find there God revealing Himself to man. And the greatest revelation of God to man is in Jesus Christ, the God-man. He's the greatest revelation of God to man. We have the prophecies of Him throughout the prophets and the Psalms. We want to know more about Him today. We want to be learning at His feet through this week and hopefully the rest of our lives. But to prepare the way of the Lord, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he was the voice. He was not an echo of the last book he read or of the last person he talked to, but he was the voice. He was what this world needs today. The voice of God. He was the voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And John said, "And we beheld His glory." That's of Jesus Christ. This voice that was crying in the wilderness said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." And that's really a message for us today. Maybe if I was giving this first message a title, it's more of an introduction. But if I was giving it a title, that would probably be the appropriate title for the message. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb that comes down and visits your heart and your heart and my heart and takes away our sin. He has all the provisions if we open up to Him. Behold the Lamb." I don't know what you're here at Bible school for. I don't know what your motive of heart. Hopefully it's to behold more of the Lamb. And He is the one we need to put our eyes upon this morning. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John said, "And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ was not as Adam was. Adam was the Son of God by creation. Jesus is referred to as the second Adam, but not by creation. He is the begotten of the Father. He is God made flesh. He came into this world to reveal God to man and to make the provision for man. In Luke chapter 4, we have these words of Jesus as He began His earthly ministry. John chapter 4, verse 16 and following, "And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He opened the book, He found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor.'" Notice the sixfold ministry of Jesus here. "He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And when He closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And they all bare Him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" This was the initiation of the ministry, the 3-year ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And His appearance in the world was not by accident. It was by divine appointment. The plan of God was on target. It was right to the day, the year that God planned. He came to proclaim, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That is true of the ministry and work and offering and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it's true of us receiving Him into our hearts. There is an acceptable year of the Lord. And God has given us this window of opportunity. Your and my life is planned and designed by God to be filled with the presence of God. There's an acceptable year of the Lord for you in my life. Hopefully that's why you're here, because you want more of Him. More of Him. Well, His appearance, Jesus' appearance into this world was an accident. It was divine purpose, divine plan. And what did He do? What did this Redeemer do? What did this Jesus do? This man that they said, "Is not this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter?" I believe Jesus grew up just like we grow up. And he grew up knowing what it was to work and knowing what it was to at times be without. He knew what the pains and what the trials and what the tests of life were. He knew what it was to be a young man. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. He knew what it was to be a young person. He went through all of those. And the people were saying, isn't this the carpenter? But at the beginning of his ministry, there was a voice that came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So what did he teach them? Matthew 4:23. Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people, and that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them. Dear young people, Jesus wants to teach us yet today. He wants to teach us yet today. And we want to learn of Jesus today. What did he teach them? What does he teach us? He teaches us, and he taught them of the kingdom of God. It's interesting that in the book of Matthew, there are 51 times that Jesus Christ referred to the kingdom of God. And he taught the people of the kingdom of God. He teaches us that yet today, of the kingdom of God. He teaches us today concerning the issues of sin and the issues of our heart that separate us from God. Those things that keep us awake at night. Those things that throb and say, there's something better. It's the voice of Jesus through the Holy Spirit that He's yet speaking. He's teaching us the issues of sin and of our heart. And He teaches the remedy. How those issues can be dealt with. What we can do to come into a relationship, a living relationship with the living Christ. A living relationship with God. Where God is given the opportunity to fill that empty heart, that empty being. You know, it's interesting to me as I look look at people all over the world. You know, it doesn't make any difference if you grow up in a nice fine home in Lancaster County with all the furnishings of the house and the nice floors and the furniture and everything nice. And here in America, everything is so plush and so easy and so nice. Or you may be raised in a little mud hut and a dirt floor and a thatched roof. And know what it is to go hungry. While others are throwing food away. And it makes no difference. The needs of the soul are the same. And Jesus is able to meet those needs. He reaches right down. And He touches our heart. And He teaches us. And those are the things we want to learn about Him today. Through this week. And we won't touch all the things that Jesus teaches. But hopefully we can touch the things that God wants us to learn this week. That's really what's all important. The things that God has planned for us. Isn't that right? You want those things that God has planned for your life? Amen. Let's all open ourselves to that. I need it. I'm a little bit older than you are. Not a lot, but a little bit older. I still feel young in the morning. By night, I feel a little older. But God has for us just what we need. And it's so exciting and so precious and so wonderful when we can just open up our heart to God in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for taking that interest in me. Thank you in your greatness for reaching down to my weakness. Fill me today. I just want to be yours. And that's what He wants to do for us. It's His pleasure. It's His pleasure. Well, Brother Jim said men don't get emotional, but I do. I'm sorry. But I just get so filled and so moved when I think of all that my blessed Lord and Savior does for me and did for me and is doing for me and will do. And He wants to do that for every one of you. He wants our hearts to be moved and throbbing with His heart. He wants us to have the mind and spirit that He has. And as we move among society today, you know, that's what really the Christian life is all about. What is a Christian? Just being Christ-like. It's simple, but it's complete. But it's so simple. And that's what God wants us to do. He just wants us to be Christ to those we meet. He wants us to meet people and speak like Christ would speak. He wants us to meet situations in life where there's difficulty and strife and show the mind and the spirit of Jesus Christ. He just wants us to be Jesus. You know, Jesus said, "It's expedient for you that I go away, because when I leave, the Comforter, the Spirit of God's going to come." And He says, "I'm going to baptize you with the Spirit." John said He's going to baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. And I think there's a lot of baptisms along that line. You know, the Spirit of God, we're filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit fills our life. And He empowers us and He gives us direction as we face the circumstance. Jesus said, "You don't need to go trying to prepare what you're going to say when you're brought before the councils and before all these." He said, because the Holy Spirit is going to give you the words to say. We can make all kinds of preparation. But you know, if we're not led of the Spirit of God, if we're not open to what God is saying, we've missed it. Well, Jesus is teaching us these things. And Jesus taught the people in His day. He taught them of the kingdom of God. Chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. He teaches of the kingdom of God. He teaches of the issues of sin and the issues of a heart that separate man from God. And He teaches the remedy. He says, we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And that comes from God. And it comes to us from God through Jesus Christ. And He says, you forgive, you pray, God, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And so He teaches us that there's some principles related to forgiveness, to sin and to forgiveness, and to us receiving forgiveness. The attitudes of our hearts towards other people. If there's not forgiveness in our hearts towards another, neither will there be forgiveness from the Father for our hearts and lives. And then there's peace. Then there's peace when we find that remedy through Jesus Christ. God has a remedy for the sin issue. Chapter 6, verse 12 of Matthew, He tells us, He says, pray, forgive us. Forgive us as we forgive others. Dealing with that sin issue. Matthew 7, 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There was a distinct difference in the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ from that of the religious sector. Jesus really wasn't preaching religion. He wasn't saying, now you just go through this ritual and this ritual and you do this, you do that, and then you'll be all right. Jesus was teaching a living relationship with the living God. That's what He has for you and I today. And the people were astounded at His doctrine. He wasn't preaching doctrines. You can make a note of this. You study through the Scripture. All the references to the doctrine of God are in the singular. It's all the truths that God has given in His Word dovetailing in Jesus Christ in one unity. That's the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the doctrines of Jesus Christ. It's not the doctrines of the Bible. It's the doctrine of God. Doctrine in the plural always refers in the Scripture to the devil and to men. The doctrines of devils, the doctrines of men. But of God, there's a singular doctrine. And the people were astonished at His doctrine. All the teaching that Jesus gave dovetailed in a perfect unity and harmony. That was of God. Man's doctrines always run into conflict. Run into conflict with other doctrines and with other men, and there's a bucking and there's just don't fit. But God's doctrine all fits together. It's the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so precious. And that doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ is what God wants to impart into our hearts. That we have that perfect unity with the Father. Isn't it precious? I'll tell you, it's so wonderful. I can't explain it all, but it's just wonderful. And that's what He was teaching them. They were astonished at His doctrine. And He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And there was the leper that came to Him. And you know, a man that had such wonderful a doctrine to preach and such a wonderful capability of doing it, he certainly wouldn't have time to spend on a leper. But a leper came to Him. That unclean, impure leper. A cast out, an outcast. And the leper said, "Lord, if You will, You can cleanse me." And Jesus said, "I will." And He reached out and He touched the unclean leper. According to the law of Moses, Jesus should have then been unclean. But here was the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin, takes away the filthiness, takes away all the disease of the leper, and He reaches down. Have you felt His touch? You identify with that impure, unclean leper? We've all been there, or we're there. And Jesus reaches out and He touches. And then the centurion came to Him. "Lord, Lord, my servant's sick. He's sick of the palsy. He's grievously tormented." Jesus said, "I have time for you too. I have time for you. I'll come and heal him." And the centurion said, "I'm not worthy of that." Here was a Roman, a Gentile. And he said, "I'm not worthy. You just speak the word." And Jesus said, "I haven't found so great faith in all of Israel." And the servant was healed. Praise God. And then he came to Peter's mother-in-law. And there she was, sick of a fever, laying in bed. And he came and he touched her. And she was healed. She rose and she ministered to those around. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Are you beginning to see what the mind and spirit of Jesus was? He wasn't some like haughty, proud, "I'm going to tell you what to do." He was the lowly, meek Jesus. That humble man that walked the dusty, dirty streets of Galilee, of Nazareth. Had those dirty people coming to him. Had those unclean coming to him. Had the sick coming to him. All these different classes of people. And he reached out. And he did to them what he wants to do to you, young men. What he wants to do to you, young sisters. He touched them. And it doesn't take a religious ceremony to have Jesus reach out and touch our hearts. It takes that response of faith. It says, yes, Lord. Please, Lord. Help my unbelief. Touch my heart. Cleanse my life. I want to be yours. Really, the Christian life is just, can be summed up in two words. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And Jesus comes in and he does all the rest. And we say, oh, but you have to be obedient. But I want to tell you, if it weren't for the work of Jesus in our hearts, we wouldn't even have the desire. But he that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I don't believe in a work salvation, but I believe that salvation makes you want to do the will of the Father. I believe that salvation makes us take the Word of God and open it up and say, Lord, teach me. Show me. I want to know. I want your Word in my heart that I don't sin against you. I want Jesus here. I want the Holy Spirit to fill this being. And there met him the scribe in verse 19. And the scribe, the religious scribe, he said, oh, Master, I see that you really teach it right. I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Another said to him, Lord, I'll follow you, but allow me to go first and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. What are we willing to leave to follow Jesus? Oh, yes, Lord, I'll go as long as I'm sure there's a pretty good hotel waiting for me there with a nice soft bed, and I'll go, but Jesus says, it's all right. If you want to follow me, you have to let me take care of those things. You have to let me take care of those things. Just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'll take care of the rest of it. And you know, really, it doesn't really matter a lot if we're sleeping on a bench under a tree or on the dirt or in a soft bed, as long as we're with Jesus. That's really what matters, that we're with Jesus. And then him and his disciples went out to sea. They were crossing the sea, and Jesus fell asleep, and a great storm came up, and the ship was covered with waves. His disciples came and awoke him and said, Lord, save us, we perish. The disciples were just like we are. They were just men like we are. They got scared. Oh, how many times when the Master's near and we're all scared, we say, Lord, what's going to happen? The Lord just calmly arises. He rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. I'll tell you, the Jesus we serve, the Jesus that wants to be our Lord, is greater than sin. He's greater than the devil. He's greater than the storm. He's greater than the tempest. There's nothing too great for Him. He's the greatest of all. We can trust Him. We can just trust Him. And then there met Him two out of the tombs, possessed with devils, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Behold, they cried out. And He said, "You leave them." And they were healed. They were given sound minds. They were given peace. It's just what Jesus has for our hearts as well. On and on and on goes the account of what happened as Jesus walked and ministered to the poor, to the sick, to the suffering, to the dying. And He rose the dead. You know, it's interesting that in the face of death, there was always resurrection when Jesus came on the scene. And the result was always just what it will be when we invite Jesus in. And there was joy. Joy, joy. Oh, the joy of the Lord. Such a precious gift. Such a precious possession. It's that that fills. It's the presence of the Spirit of God that fills our hearts. That Paul could write while he was sitting bound in the prison, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." That's the joy of the Lord. So different from the hilarity of this world. The world offers all kinds of diversion, of sports and activities and all kinds of activities to just entertain and give us a thrill. But I'll tell you, it's poles apart from the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord isn't controlled by the circumstances. It's given to us by God Himself. We can possess it regardless of the circumstances. Well, Jesus, in His earthly ministry, He was walking among those people we were just looking at. The needy, the poor, the sick, the hungry, the unclean. And at the same time, there was something happening among the religious sector. The scribes and the Pharisees and the religious sector of Jesus' day. What are we going to do with this man? The whole world's gone after Him. And there was envy, and there was hatred, and there was wrath. Because their religious system did not fit into the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. When our religious system doesn't fit into the doctrine of Jesus, when it's not the doctrine of Jesus Christ, there's always a conflict that only Calvary can redeem. Jesus didn't come preaching religion. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of religion in the world today. And there's so many people that, you know, would go to church every Sunday and we'd go teach in Sunday school class. We might preach and we just do a lot of religious things, turn around and go back to the street and go back to the house and you do the same old ugly stuff you did before. That's religion, but it's not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ changes the life. Whether it's the life of the poor and the needy, or the life of the scribe and the Pharisee. And then we have the third group. Ouch. It's that third group. They're wealthy. They're educated. They're finely dressed. Highly techie. They live in 2018. We're the third group. What will we do with this man, Jesus? What will we do with this man, Jesus? I'm not saying this belittlingly, but we have the big church houses. the big church houses. We have the big seminars, the programs, the ministries. Everything so high class and so high tech that it makes the ministry of Jesus look old fashioned and outdated. We have need of nothing. But Jesus says, I counsel thee. Jesus has some things to say to us today. As He said to the church of the Laodiceans, really, brothers and sisters, I believe that we live in the age of the Laodicean church as well as in the age of the Philadelphia. I believe Philadelphia and Laodicea depict all the seven churches of Asia. I know it's another subject, but all the seven churches of Asia actually depict all the churches of all the church age. And I believe that Philadelphia and Laodicea depict the two churches of the end of the age. A faithful remnant and another group that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. So what does Jesus have to say to us today? As we think about life, there's a lot of questions. I know, especially in the minds of young people. There's a lot of questions. What's life all about? We may have been taught these things, we may not have been taught. But what's life all about? Why am I really here? Why do I exist? Who is God? Why was I born in the family I was born in? Why was I born in the part of the world I was born in? Why wasn't I born down in the bush somewhere, down in the jungles, to a family that knew nothing of God? Why wasn't I born there? I've asked that question many a time. Why wasn't I? God has His divine plans and purpose in it all. Why does life have joy and sorrow? Life can become simply an empty frustration of thrills and disappointments in a person trying to find their identity in life. Where is it that I fit in? What is it that I'm gifted to do that I can put myself into and really find fulfillment in life? I want to tell you something, young people, right now. Remember it. You can write it down, but put it in your hearts more than anything else. If you want to know where your identity is, it's found only in Jesus Christ. In Jesus you will find the identity of your life. You can find in Jesus and in His life, in His ministry, in His everything, you find your identity there. He lived and He bore the sorrows and the sin of your life. Our identity is in Jesus. And life takes on meaning. And we begin to realize, oh, I know now why I live. I know now why I'm in the world. I don't necessarily understand exactly why God allowed me or placed me into the world in the year of 1950. Or you might say the year of 19, I don't know when you were born, 90-something, or maybe even after 2000. It seems awful short. But anyway, I don't know why God placed me here at that time, but He placed me here for a reason. He has a purpose. And the purpose is to glorify God and share the kingdom. God didn't place us here in this world just to simply try to build a little empire here and make a big business and as a young person have that fine looking pickup or sports car, whatever it is, I don't know. I remember when I was a young fella or a young person growing up, how the styles would always change, and one time the cars were jacked up and the next time they were jacked in the front and the next in the back, and you know, and people were trying to find something to fulfill, something to make life really meaningful. I don't know what all it is today, probably some high-tech thing, but I'm sort of out of that class. I'm a bush man. But at any rate, the point is this, that Jesus fills all that void. And you might get to the out of the young stage and get into the middle age, and you do the same thing with your business that you were trying to do with your sports vehicle. Find fulfillment in life through the business. And it just doesn't fill it. It just doesn't happen. It's found in Jesus. He is the fulfillment of life. And you may be involved in business. You may, sure, the Bible teaches that a person's to work. But life goes beyond that. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. And that's really what Jesus wants to teach us. That life is really all about God. It's all about Him. The psalmist said, "It is God that hath made us, not we ourselves." God puts us into this world so that He can teach us. If you'll turn to John 6:45, Jesus said these words. John 6:45. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." And I want you to get a hold of that verse. That verse in three ways describes and lays out something for us that's really important. You want to learn of God? God wants to teach you. That's why we live right here. It's because God wants to teach us. And He says, "And they shall all be taught of God." Now, God has a teaching program that goes right from while we are little children. He begins to touch the heart, even of little children. Little children generally have a desire to praise God. They generally have a desire to please God. I remember as a little fellow, growing up, some of the things that were in my heart and mind about God. And I can testify that God was even there touching my heart. Not that I knew a lot, but it was God teaching. Now, He says here, every man, they shall all be taught of God. John 1 says, "Of His fullness have all we received." There is that work of God in the heart of the child, in the heart of the sinner that has not yet come to God, that a person just can't get away from. That work of God, that touch of the finger of God on the heart to the sinner, the young person that grows up and says, "Not yet." And God says, "But you're mine. You just need to let me deal with this sin problem. This sin issue. But not yet. But you're mine." God wants to. God teaches. God teaches. His Spirit always draws us by our spirit with the truth. On the other hand, the devil comes and he's also drawing. But he draws us from our carnal desires with lies and deceit and untruth to things that are vain and disappointing, to sinfulness. Man's a threefold being. I wasn't going to get into that this morning, but man is a threefold being. He's body, he's soul, and he's spirit. The body is the house of the soul and the spirit. As I understand it, the spirit of man is reserved by God only for Himself. The devil can touch this body with temptation and with all kinds of deceit and all kinds of ugly stuff. But God is here speaking to our hearts, to our spirits. And the soul needs to decide. The soul is deciding between spirit and body. Spirit desires and body desires. The body cries out, "It's my right! I want it! It's my right!" And if the soul says, "All right, go ahead," but there's no satisfaction that comes in the spirit, God moving, touching, is saying, "I'll satisfy. Surrender it. I'll satisfy." God teaching. God teaching every man. Every man therefore that hath heard, number one. You want to be really taught of God? You want to have Jesus teach? You must listen. Every man that hath heard. God is speaking. Today if you will hear His voice. Every man that hath heard. And hath learned of the Father. So there's a matter of listening. And there's a matter of receiving it. Learning it. And what happens? Jesus said, "Cometh unto me." Every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. He brings us to Jesus. The work of the Spirit of God with our spirit brings us, takes us. When we, by faith, allow God to work, you know what faith does? It doesn't matter how far down into sin a person may be. When that heart turns to God in faith, God takes them from where they are, from where we are, step by step, to where He is. And it doesn't matter how close we may be to God, if we turn our heart in unbelief, unbelief always takes us from where we are to where we never thought we would go. Down to hell itself. But God has good things to teach us. And when we listen, and when we learn, and when we turn to Jesus, we receive that blessing, that fullness. Well, life is really all in Him. We're in a school. We're in a school. We live in this little space called time. And that little space is a schooling that God puts us through to teach us and to bring us to Christ, to bring us to Himself. That's what it's all about. Life, young people, life is not a series of accidents that we wonder, what's coming next? Life is by divine appointment. God allows us to go through hardship, through suffering, through trial, through difficulty, because He loves us. He knows that we need those things to turn our eyes toward Jesus. If you think life has dealt pretty tough and hard with you, just remember, Jesus went through it all. And He came through in victory. And God has grace for your life, for my life, to bring us through it all. Take us through to glory. Amen? That's the Jesus way. And that's the way we want to go. And it's the way we want to learn. This school of God is with purpose. It's with purpose. This school has no graduation class. It awards no titles. You live to be 100 years old, you don't graduate from this one. You don't leave with a title. The fact is that none of us know a lot. We all have a lot to learn. The thing we know most of is just not much of anything. But we can know God. If any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. If this circle represents all that there is to be known, what percent of this circle do you think you would know? I think that's about where... I don't know if I'd know that much. Probably not. We don't know much, but God knows it all. And God wants to teach us what are the very important things to be known while we're here in this life. God is the only one that knows it all. And it's important that we choose Him to be our teacher. That we listen, that we learn, and that we come to Jesus. I see our time is just about up. I've still got a number of things here that are on my heart this morning. But Jesus is the only perfect teacher. Only His truth sets the soul free. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall... Do what? Amen! Praise God! It'll set you free! Many times we make the learning process difficult because of our stubbornness and self-centeredness. We tend to think so much of ourselves. Something happens, the first thing we think of is, oh, what does this do to my plans? No? And we buck and read. It's a little like the old calf. I was, you know, down there in Bolivia, we have a cattle ranch. And that's not my purpose for living in Bolivia, but it helped put a little bread on the table. But I was on the horse the other week and had a calf that had broke out. Down there we milk cows different. We have to tie the calf up and let it prime the cow in the morning. But anyway, that's beside the point. So I had to go get this calf, and I got on the horse and got the lasso rope and got the calf lassoed and tied it on saddle horn. But that calf just wanted to do like we do. He just was so stubborn. He drug his feet. He'd fall down and slide. He took the hard road to the corral. You know, isn't that so typical of us? We take the hard road to the corral so many times because of our stubbornness and self-centeredness. The old saying is that we live and learn, but somehow it takes longer to learn than we have time to live. Would you like to have Jesus for your teacher? Would you? Would you like to have been one of Jesus' disciples? Did you ever stop and think that, oh, if I just lived in the time of Jesus, I'd just love to be one of His disciples? Would you like to have Jesus be a speaker at this Bible school? Well, I want to tell you something, young people. If you're saying yes in your hearts to these questions, I've got good news for you. And that good news is this. That Jesus still speaks and Jesus still has disciples. And for this week and the rest of our life, we want to learn at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. We want to learn at His feet. Jesus has many things to teach us, but to learn we must listen. And there's a lot of competition. And I think as the age goes on closer and closer to the coming of the Son of Jesus to receive the bride, there's a lot that the devil's efforts are more intense. And there's a lot of competition to hearing the voice of Jesus in this modern age of a lot of technology. We often have our ears all jammed with earphones and we hear a lot of good stuff. But I got a question for you. Are you hearing Jesus? Are you hearing Jesus? That's really... It's not that I'm saying it's wrong for you to put earplugs in there, or earphones, I guess you call them, and listen to good singing and good things. I'm not saying that's wrong. But the question, the bottom line is, are we hearing Jesus? You know something, young people? I'm going to put a challenge before you. And that's this, that you don't only listen to good singing and to good preaching and all. Those things are important. But it's so important that you meditate on the Word of God. That you read the Word of God and you meditate. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my CD. It's my meditation all the day. There's something about meditating on the Word of God that allows God to come in and fill and bless. Yeah, we got phones so smart today. Yeah, you can hear people, your friends from all over the world, and you hear a lot of people you don't even know from all over the world on what do they call it? WhatsApp and Facebook and things like that. Well, I want to challenge you, young people, this morning. Let's all get on Facebook with Jesus. Let's get on Facebook with Jesus. You want to know how to do it? The Bible tells us. I got on Facebook with Jesus when I was 18 years old and didn't know it was Facebook because we didn't have any such thing that was saying that back in those days. But you turn to 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. There it tells you how to get on Facebook with Jesus. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 6 of chapter 4, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, 18, he says, we were beholding with open face. That's our face. In chapter 4, verse 6, it's the face of Jesus. Here we are on Facebook with Jesus. And something happens when we turn our face to Jesus. There are some wonderful things happen. Look at Zacchaeus. Look at Saul on the road to Damascus. And it's not just for 2,000 years ago. It's for today in the year 2018. Right here you can get on Facebook with Jesus. And some wonderful things will begin to happen in your and my life. God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.